Right now, though, let's talk about what's going on tonight. President Bush speaks before an audience of soldiers at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, on this, the first anniversary of the handover of sovereignty in Iraq. The president is expected to address the nation's unease over the continuing insurgency. To preview tonight's speech, we're joined by NPR's Washington editor, Ron Elving. Ron, welcome.
Good to be with you, Frank.
What do we expect to hear tonight?
The president is going to talk about continuing the course that we have set for ourselves in Iraq on the military track, the political track, and the diplomatic track. We're not expecting to hear him propose any kind of a new approach or some dramatic change upward or downward in our U.S. troop levels. We're not expecting him to talk too much about when he thinks we'll be able to bring our men and women home, except to say that he does expect that we will be able to install an Iraqi government with a constitution that he expects to see the Iraqi people approve in October in their referendum, and that after that time, he expects the insurgency will come under the control of the Iraqi security forces and we can begin to bring our forces back home.
Well, this business of expectations and when the insurgency ends has been the subject of some controversy, and the administration seems to be sending mixed signals about when this might be over. So take us through what we've heard over the past couple of weeks.
Well, we of course heard the vice president describe the insurgency as being in its last throes. And more recently, the vice president himself has referred to dictionary definitions of throes to say, look, this is not necessarily something that's going to end overnight. I'm just saying it can't win. It cannot be the future of Iraq. Eventually, this insurgency will be defeated. And of course, we've also heard different time periods referred to as to how long that could take. We had Secretary Rumsfeld over the weekend telling Fox News that an insurgency could take 5 years, 7 years, 10, 11, 12. He actually reached 12 years, not saying again that U.S. troops would be there that long, but that the insurgency itself might live on that long and would have to be battled over a long period of time by the Iraqis.
Then the question about when this might end and end successfully in a democratic Iraq seems to be, or may well be, what's at the heart of some of the changes in the polls. The president's policy in Iraq seems to be losing support.
I think the main thing that affects people when they think about this war is the loss of life and the ongoing violence, the horrific violence, the increasingly precisely targeted abilities of some of the terrorists, suicide bombers who don't just blow themselves up and whoever may be around, but people who also seem to know exactly how to penetrate to a U.S. convoy, such as the one in Fallujah that lost a number of troops the other day, six of them women. These are more telling attacks, and they're very disturbing to Americans who see it on television and in the newspapers. And as a result, people have really become uneasy about this situation compared to where they were 3 months ago, 4 or 5 months ago. At the same time, I think there's a discouragement factor that comes in when people hear this kind of talk about how long it may be going on. It's hard for them to know when they would see their American troops out of harm's way.
Given what you just said and polls that I've seen and pollsters who I've talked to who say pretty much the same thing, that Americans can accept casualties as long as they see the end and expect to win, but when that isn't clear, the fatigue begins to set in. How does a speech that says more of the same, stay the course, ease any of the fear about that?
It may not, and that, of course, is the great fear of the White House, that they would go out and give it their best shot in prime time, try to reach the American people, have the president standing there with a backdrop of uniformed personnel and people who are highly motivated and supportive of the president, and yet not necessarily move public opinion. There was a similar speech the president gave in prime time, more or less at the low point of the Abu Ghraib scandal a little over a year ago. That was the other point in time when the president's polls got as low as they are now in the mid-40s range, and when people's disapproval of what was going on in Iraq began to increase. Now, in the interim, over that period of time, the president got reelected, people got a little more hopeful about Iraq, and that's part of the problem now, too, because people did get more hopeful. They saw those elections in January, inspiring performance by the Iraqi people coming out in the face of threats to vote, and people also saw the supposed cleaning up of Fallujah, and they saw this government being put together in Baghdad. So now to feel disappointment and discouragement on top of that, I think that's what's really driving a lot of the emotional bottoming out of people's feelings about the war.
The speech, he will give a speech in North Carolina, an interesting place to go. He's going to Fort Bragg. He'll be surrounded by soldiers, so he'll have the military motif. But it's that very state where a Republican congressman, Walter Jones, is seen as is calling now for a deadline, a date. Walter Jones' district is Camp Lejeune. I mean, that's another camp, and it does suggest that the military itself may be growing weary.
And let's remember that Walter Jones was the congressman who was responsible for renaming French fries mm-hmm. in the congressional cafeteria Freedom Fries, because the French were not sufficiently supportive of our mission in Iraq 2 years ago. Now Congressman Jones himself has had something of a change of heart and feels as though the war is no longer proceeding in such a way that it's serving our greater interests. And of course, as you say, he has many constituents for whom the military is not a photograph, it's not a picture on television, it's their family.
So is there anything to the polls? If we take a look, there's a couple of ways to measure this. You can measure the polls. They go up and down, but now we're seeing members of Congress, including Republicans, calling for a way out. Is there anything more persistent about these polls? Should the president be worried about these particular polls?
I think the president is concerned when he sees the percentage of Americans saying it was a mistake to go into Iraq up over 50%, as it is in most polls, some of them up near 60%. I think he's concerned when he sees people calling for a timetable or saying they want to see an exit strategy because he knows how difficult it is to give them one, and he will again tonight not give them one. And I think he's also concerned about one other poll, and this may seem a bit of a quibble, but even among his core supporters, among Republicans, the people who believe in him and his policies most, the percentage of people who feel we have a clear plan for victory in Iraq has dropped. It's dropped from nearly 90% at almost perfect support for the president and belief in his plan to around 70%. Well, it's still very, very strong among Republicans, but another drop like that drop, and the president's policy would be in very serious jeopardy. So I think he wants to shore up his base. Part of the mission tonight, part of the intent of this speech, will be to speak to the people who are his strongest supporters and tell them, don't lose heart.
That said, some of the broader polls, the broader national polls, suggest that Americans aren't quite willing to set a deadline. We don't see Americans saying, let's pull out.
People do not support an immediate pull out. That is the position, of course, of some people who have been against the war all along, and some of them feel strongly borne out in that view at this point. But the majority of Americans are still uneasy with the idea that the United States would simply pull out and leave the Iraqis to what would certainly be a chaotic situation.
Any way to tease out from these polls the impact of recent revelations, the Downing Street memos and other revelations suggesting that the administration didn't have enough information and had been planning long in advance to go to war with or without the evidence?
Not in a fine sense, but in the general sense that you see movement back and forth across the 50-yard line in these polls about whether or not the United States made a mistake going into Iraq. No question that the suggestion that we did not have good information or that we weren't looking hard enough to get good information about weapons of mass destruction or the imminence of the threat from Saddam Hussein, that certainly contributes to this attitude that it was a mistake to have gone in as we did when we did.
Knowing how this process works, you can imagine that the pollsters, the White House pollsters, will be busy after the speech trying to gauge how the speech went. If it doesn't go well, what's the plan B? Historically, how have administrations gone into the next phase?
More of the same. Historically, administrations that don't really see an alternative to the current policy continue to try to bolster public support for the policy they have. They will continue to push this, but they will look for ways to recalibrate the policy and to give it some new language. I think one of the things they might want to do is set out some milestones. For example, the vote in October, the referendum in Iraq on their new constitution, and then find some milestones after that so that we can give people a point of hope, so that you could say there is a point down the road where things are going to be demonstrably better. So it's not a question of wondering whether, it's just a question of waiting for when.
What can we expect the president to point to already on the ground as signs of hope?
I think the biggest things will have to do with the writing of the Constitution, the election of figures such as Ibrahim al-Jafri, who was here visiting last Friday and yesterday was in London with Prime Minister Tony Blair. These are presentable figures who can give the impression, at least, that the government is moving forward, that it is considering the interests of all the Iraqi people, that they're following good models, that they have the interest of the nation as a whole at heart.
Ron, thanks very much.
My pleasure, Frank.
Ron Elving is NPR's Washington editor. He joins us in Studio 3A. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.